Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only those things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you maybe have a Bible question or a Bible subject you would like for us to discuss and deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information given to you by our announcer. We have been doing our study now in the book of Acts, and we are into chapter 22, where that Paul is given a defense after having been arrested, and now we see that he is very close to having been beaten, or at least having been killed. We find that in chapter 22, that in the first 20-some verses, he is given his defense. He has been allowed, after his arrest, to speak to the people. And we saw in our study last time, having read those verses, that he talks about three things in the speech that he gives. He gives about the life that he lived before he was converted. Then we find that he talks about his conversion that we read about in Acts 9, and the third thing that he talks about is the things that he did after he was called by the Lord to go and preach to the Gentiles. We saw that in his life before conversion, he was brought up as a strict Jew, and that he had persecuted Christians. So in those first five verses, Paul's point is that he's not some renegade Jew who never really was true to his religion. But to the contrary, he was as zealous as any of them, maybe even more, in fact. Now in verses 6 through 14, we see that he's talking about his conversion. This is the record that we read about in Acts 9 and Acts 22, where we are now, and we will find that he mentions it again in Acts chapter 26. What made Paul change? Here, as in other things, he makes two points. First, the Lord appeared to him on the road to Damascus. This is verses 6 through 11. We must understand that it was essential that Paul see the resurrected Lord in order that he could be qualified as an apostle. So it is that here the Lord appears to him on the road, and at about noon, a bright light, brighter than the noon sun, which he makes mention of in chapter 26 and verse 13, this great bright light shined around him. He fell to the ground, and he heard a voice saying, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" What Saul had done to Christians was done to the Lord. Thus, let us learn that how we treat fellow Christians or the church as a whole is how that we are treating our Lord, whether good or bad. So he asked, "Who are you, Lord?" And the answer was, "I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom you are persecuting." Verse 8. And those that were traveling with Paul, they were afraid when they saw the light, but they didn't hear, that is, they didn't understand the voice that was speaking to him. Remember in Acts 9 of the actual conversion of Saul, in verse 7 it says they heard the voice, and now this verse says they didn't hear. Well, it's not a contradiction. In Acts 9, they heard in the sense that they heard a voice talking. But here, in this chapter 23, they didn't hear in the sense that they didn't understand. So it is then, Saul asked what he should do, and the Lord told him to go into the city, that is Damascus, and he would be told what he should do. And that was true in the conversion in Acts 9 and verse 6. So since the light had blinded him, his companions had to lead him into the city, as we read in verse 11. So, also, we now see that Ananias came and preached to him. And here's the other point that Paul is making. Not only that the Lord appeared to him on the road, but now Ananias came and preached to him. The preacher Ananias was identified as a man who honored the law of Moses and was highly regarded by the Jews in Damascus. He miraculously restores Saul's sight in verses 12 and 13, which gave proof that what he taught Saul was from God. Ananias explained that the Lord had chosen him to be a witness to all men, including Gentiles, of all that he had seen and heard. So the purpose for the Lord appearing to Saul was not to save him, but to call him to preach among the Gentiles. Ananias asked the question in verse 16, "Why are you waiting?" Remember that Ananias found Saul praying, that we find in the conversion of Acts 9 and verse 11. Thus, as long as he was delaying his obedience, even though he was praying, he was waiting, that is, putting off his calling on the name of the Lord. So Ananias commands Paul, or Saul, to arise and be baptized and wash away his sins in verse 16. We learn here that baptism is for the purpose of washing away sin. In Mark 16:16, Jesus says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." In the day of Pentecost, when the gospel was first preached, Peter told them in Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins." And then Peter made that statement in 1 Peter 3 and verse 21, that baptism doth also now save us. So why is baptism the only condition that is mentioned here? Well, evidence that he believed is seen in the fact that he went into the city at the Lord's command. Evidence that he repented is seen in that he's not eaten in 3 days. And that we learn from the case of conversion in Acts 9 and verse 9. It's obvious that Saul was not saved on the road, as many of our religious friends try to say. If he was saved on the road, that is, when the Lord appeared to him, he was still in his sins, according to this 16th verse, when Ananias said, "Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins." So then, what does calling on the name of the Lord mean? There are 3 passages that help us to understand. In Acts 2, you remember Peter quotes Joel, the prophet, saying that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, Acts 2 and verse 21. It was at the end of the chapter in Acts 2 that 3,000 souls were saved, Acts 2 verse 41 and Acts 2 verse 47. What were they told to do between those verses? Well, in verse 36, they were told to believe, no, assuredly. In verse 38, they were told to repent. And in verse 38, they were told to be baptized. That is what they did, verse 41 tells us. And they were saved, verse 47. So, when they believed, repented, and were baptized, they were calling on the name of the Lord. The other passage that helps us to see what calling on the name of the Lord means is Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 16. In these verses, Paul said that anyone who was called on the name of the Lord shall be saved, Romans 10, verse 13. But when he points out that they didn't do that, he says they didn't obey, verse 16. Thus, obedience is the same as calling. And then the third verse that helps us to understand what calling on the name of the Lord means is here in Acts 22 and verse 16. When we look at this verse, we see that when Saul would arise and be baptized, he would be calling on the name of the Lord. So then, we see that when Paul returned to Jerusalem, the Lord spake to him in a vision, telling him to get out of Jerusalem quickly, for the Jews would not receive his testimony. So Paul contended that they would accept him, since they all knew how sincere he was, and still is, since he once persecuted Christians. However, the Lord said, "Depart, for I will send you far from here to the Gentiles." So, see, in spite of Paul's reasoning, the Lord told him to leave and go to the Gentiles. Paul makes it clear that he went to the Gentiles because of this divine call, even though he wanted to stay and work among the Jews in Jerusalem. So this is as far, though, as the crowd let Paul go in his defense. Because now let's look and begin our reading at verse 22 of Acts, the 23rd chapter. We see then that it says, "The chief captain then let the young man depart, and they came into audience, and they gave him audience under his word, and then lifted up their voices and said, 'Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it's not fit that he should live.' And as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust in the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know whereof they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, 'Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned?' When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, 'Take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman.' Then the chief captain came and said unto him, 'Tell me, art thou a Roman?' He said, 'Yea.' And the chief captain answered, 'With a great sum obtained I this freedom.' And Paul said, 'But I was freeborn.' Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him, and the chief priest also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman, and because he had bound him. On the morrow, because he would have known the certainty whereof he was accused of the Jews, he loosed him from his bands and commanded the chief priest and all of their council to appear, and brought Paul down and set him before them." So we see then what the immediate effects of Paul's speech is in these verses. The mob cries out, "Away with him," in verses 22 and 23. We see that our time is gone. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you tune in again tomorrow at the same time. Until then, we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.